Cleveland's classic rock.
Roth Radio. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. You hear the music in the background. Well, we started off the morning. We went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then we had a dinner date with Pamela Anderson. And then we went to the porno store and we all got laid. And why? Because that's the American way. So let's go to war, right? You hear the music in the background. Roth Radio, get ready for this one. We're gonna alienate everybody with this one. Or we're going to make a lot of friends with this one. We got a whole lot of conflicting opinions here. 866-313-3733. Do we belong in Iraq? Give it up, baby. I'm going to go online here first, all right? I'm not sure. At this point, I was not on the radio when this whole thing transpired, okay? And as far as the end game, I think we should have whacked Saddam Hussein back in 91. We should have marched all the way to Manchuria, just like George Patton wanted to or whatever.
Wanted to go all the way through Russia.
Oh, right? We should have taken care of that business back then. He himself is a weapon of mass destruction, okay? Whether or not he has a bomb under his armpits, whether or not he's sponsoring somebody who knows how to make a bomb, he himself was human garbage. His sons were human garbage. I remember back at the Bar One in the late 80s, his son Uday used to party there. He routinely came in. Yeah, he used to rent some of the girls from one of my friends, Lisa, okay? And he used to routinely beat them up. He would come in and he would order up to $7,000, $10,000 worth of champagne, and everybody in the room knew that homeboy was going to come to a real bad end, and he did. I'm all for it. And I think that what's happening there is that, we're gonna invent tour buses that have soybeans that run like Willie Nelson's arsenal. We're going to come up with all kinds of other resources, but that's not going to happen in the half of my time here. Everything that lights up all of those hospitals out there is fuel. Everything you're wearing right now is made by fuel. If you're listening to this radio right now, it's fuel. If you're sitting in your car listening to that radio, fuel, 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 fuel. And it's sitting over there in a gas station called Kuwait. All right? We don't take it, we buy it. And a part of the thing that we've made as our agreement is that we're going to protect the gas station.
Yep.
Now, how many times before Saddam and his boyfriends and his sons and everybody going to come walking into the disco and bump into the record player? About the third time before you take him out back and introduce him to Mr. Crowbar Concussion, right? This is an obvious issue here. This is a guy who in his peaceful times killed 500,000 Iranians, right? Killed 500,000 Kurds, wasted most of the Arab population in there when he dried out the wetlands, etc. Set all the oil wells on fire, killed most of the waterfowl when we were at war there. This guy was a psychotic. And I don't believe that we're the world's police, but somebody was calling for help there, okay? And I think that in terms of, oh, there's insurrection now, there's improvised explosive devices, of course there are. But sometimes you gotta go and kick the hive over. And I think in that respect, yeah, there's chaos, there's noise, but nothing compared to the tragedy that would have continued if this moron had been left in power. Call me, argue with me, 866-313-3733. What do you think, Linda?
I think also beyond that, we're there now. We have to support our commander-in-chief. I think it's horrible how we have our legislators looking, you know, to put down our president. And you know what we look to other nations, what we look like to other nations? The French laugh at us, and all these other countries laugh at us. They laughed at us at how we try to, you know, tear down Clinton. The reality is, my dad fought in World War II. My attitude is, I follow my commander-in-chief. And believe me, I'm probably going to get thrown out of the club for this one. And I don't agree with everything that Bush has said or stands for. But we're at war, period.
Also, I hold the thought that if, let's simplify this. Let's simplify this. If I'm walking down the street and somebody's beating you up and I walk by because I'm an EMT, probably one of the most famous ever, okay? 327-466, that's my badge number. And you see my face, you're telling me that if I don't help you, you aren't going to sue me? Of course you will. I gotta stop. I'm duty bound to stop. And now you have a guy over there who is throwing people down the well, who is torturing people. I don't know, maybe torture's okay. Weigh in on that one. Because if you think it's not okay, then we have every duty-bound, honorable reason to be over there. The next stop is going to be Africa. Bono is already pointing in that direction. We're going to go to, we want to go to Liberia. It's the same exact routine as in Iraq. We always start these issues and then we change our mind halfway through, like the sex change guy. No, I want to go back to the women's prison. No, I want to go back to the men's prison. We don't belong in Iraq, but now we're starting to pitch we belong in Africa. What about Sierra Leone? What about Liberia? What about Uganda? What about Gombe National Park? All of these places are incendiary and everybody is already in the music community pointing, saying, we got to get food there. We have to get medication there. I totally agree. Do you think you're going to do that without a soldier?
So do you think that's preparation? That all of the people saying we got to get medical supplies there, we got to get food there, do you think that they are setting the table so that when we do go there, we'll be able to take care of ourselves?
No, it's a humanitarian effort. What I'm saying is there's no humanitarian without a soldier leading the way. When we tried this issue with We Are the World back in 1985, millions of dollars of food was bought. Millions of dollars of food was shipped to Asab Harbor in Ethiopia. And that's when the musicians went back out on the road and everybody stopped paying attention, because the dictator, Joe Mengistu, used every bit of that food, every bit of everything that got sent by We Are the World, and fed his terrorist troops.
Not only that, Dave, not only that, the Oil for Food program, it was looted. It was looted by Saddam Hussein and his people, looted. And though that food never got where it was supposed to be. There are so many starving people that were in Iraq. And, and you don't hear the stories about how our soldiers really, in a lot of these places, have been helping the Iraqi people. And you only hear the bad stories, and the media has just not been fair in how they report things. I'm a firm believer in that.
I'm a big believer in the left. I'm a big believer in all the rights that are in the Constitution, and then some. And it drives me nuts to see somebody getting beat up on the street. I've almost gotten killed a couple of times on the streets of New York City for intervening. The worst time is when I caught some homeless guy beating up a dog. He had it, a big one, like a pit bull or something, was holding it by the end of his tail and swinging it around his head. And I couldn't walk past that. Are you telling me I should walk past that? If I can't walk past it for a dog, how do I rationalize, let me just walk past an entire country that's in the throes of agony? How do I walk past Africa that's in the throes of agony? Talk to me. John, you're on. Number 12, Roth Radio. Boom, Daddy, you're on. Go ahead.
Listen, we have to be in Iraq. For years, they've been attacking us. Iraq is just a starting point to finally kick ass like we're supposed to. The president told us when the towers came down, where I lost friends, I'm a paramedic, I lost friends down there. He told us it was going to be a long war, and we all supported him. Now that we got to pay the price, nobody wants to support him.
I fully agree, and I think that when we went to Afghanistan, it's all kind of one neighborhood in there, and that real or imagined, whether or not there was weapons of mass destruction, those individuals are weapons of mass destruction. He tried to take over the gas station. Let's just simplify it. We buy our fuel from right next door. He tried to take over the gas station. Now, if we were up on 126th and Lenox, and I was working sidewalk street corner pharmaceuticals, and you moved across my corner, what do you think would happen to you by midnight on Saturday night? That's right, homeboy. Turn up the
music.
That's
right. Well, capitalism. There's nothing wrong with supporting our government.
Well, there's nothing wrong with supporting our allies either. We got a business arrangement, and people say, but the Arabs, they mistreat us. Well, so does my blood family. People say, but the Arabs, the Kuwaitis, they lie to us. So do most of my family. People say, we don't get along with them. They mistreat us, and they're abusive. Yeah, just like working for CBS. Come on.
Sorry, Dave.
Steve, you say Iraq is unstable. Wow, what was your first clue? Roth Radio? Go, Daddy-O, you're on. Swing. Go. We lost him. Iraq, the topic. Pete, number 13. Come on, Hutch, hit it faster. Pete, you're on.
Mr. Diamond, good morning.
Go ahead.
Peter Brown, United States Navy, retired. We should have finished it in 1991 for obvious reasons. But people complain about the weapons of mass destruction. We never ended the war back then. We had a ceasefire under certain conditions. And he was shooting at my Navy brothers in the North and South supply zone. That alone is reason enough to go in and grab him, take over, and redo the country, in my opinion.
I don't know if I agree that it just because he was shooting at Americans, because I don't know what the conditions were that Americans who landed there was.
Right.
But I think in terms of what he was capable of inflicting upon the free world, and I mean not just here, not just Europe, not just England, but everywhere.
What he was doing.
Speak to that, what he was doing.
To his own frickin' people.
Yeah, I agree.
What a nut.
Well, what happens is, in America, we like it nice and clean, okay? We grow up with the idea that we're going to line up in phalanx, it's called. It's going to be like the Battle of Gettysburg.
I got you.
40,000 people are going to line up on one line, and it'll be maybe 4 miles long. And then there'll be another line of people facing them, and that'll be 4 miles long. And we're supposed to march towards each other like the old Zulu nations, and then everybody's going to walk into each other's muskets, and nobody has fought a war like that since, what do you figure, the Civil War?
The American Revolution.
Exactly. And when we start talking about people who fight fair, or is this a real war, or whatever, those are over. There is no more Super Bowl where you line up at the line of scrimmage. The war happens everywhere.
We were called guerrillas in the American Revolution because we would not line up.
Oh, I agree. Right. And then when people, I still hear military personnel discussing, well, so-and-so doesn't fight fair, or this isn't a real war. It's not a real war. It's a conflict, let's call it. It's war as we knew it is over. It's not boxing. It's not a stylized thing where we all promise the rules.
1962, President Kennedy created the SEALs. And if somebody goes on the internet and reads what he said about the future of warfare is, that's what we're doing right now.
What did he say about the future of warfare?
The conflict will be small, urban, guerrilla.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to end.
Bingo.
And what happens now is that our military functions like a police force. Whenever somebody starts starving or somebody has a ruthless dictator.
We can't do that.
We can't do it?
No. We don't. If we had an army and Marines of 5 million people, maybe we could take care of the world.
Okay, so are you saying we should stay home? Skip Iraq?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's hard.
Okay, so what should we do with Africa? Here comes Africa. What do you say? Just let them starve?
Well, let's use Somalia.
And?
What's his name? Clinton was in.
Okay.
The idea was good. Execution was bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree with the idea, not the execution.
Well, what they did in Somalia that they did that was different from We Are the World is they used 9,000 armed gunmen, and all of the food got to the source. Now, things fell apart once we took off.
That's because the locals there started taking the food away from the people.
So what should we do in Africa next? Go ahead, Rob.
I got nothing.
You know what? I want to jump in, Pete. You know, do you have guys and friends you're in contact with who are still over there and still fighting this war?
Yes, sir.
What? You know, we're at the mercy of the reportage. And, you know, there's so much argument about, you know, you've got everything from the Fox News, conservative voice, to all the liberal media. But we're at the mercy of being at the end of that funnel. What do you hear from the guys who are really there?
I'll give you a website real quick and easy. NavySeals.com.
NavySeals.com. What are we going to read there?
Go read their BlackNet news letters. You will get the truth from Marines and sailors.
Okay, we're going to dial that up, but we're going to read a little bit off it. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Should we be there? I don't know. It seems like Iraq is in a static issue. Now it's, should we go to Iran? Should we go to Africa? Because it's all the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, you, Dave, you have a friend, Colonel Brown, Soldiers for the Truth. And on that website as well, you can really read what's happening in the front there. And some of the things that these soldiers have found. And, you know, you only hear sometimes the bad stories. We look like the bad guy. But the real truth of the matter is that this gentleman, he did use weapons of mass destruction. It's documented that he used nerve gas on his own people, and it was just a matter of time, whether they found it or not.
Mike is a combat veteran. Maybe he's got some illumination on that. Roth Radio. Mike, you're good to go.
Robin, you ignorant, simple-minded fool. You total drone, you total pawn of the man and the corporate power structure.
Okay, for starters...
You're talking to such an idiot.
Okay, for starters, that was Reisman, not Robin, but go ahead.
Finally follow anybody who leads us into an unjustified war for no real reason other than, hey, this was a bad guy. Yeah, he was a bad guy. Yeah, we should have taken him out back in 91. But what's going on there now? The lies and the deception and the destruction of American rights, the waste of money when we need our soldiers here at home, when we need our people here at home to take care of Americans, and everything that's going on in the destruction of this country for his lies so that his oil crony buddies can all get rich. And for idiots like you to follow along blindly is a total crime.
Okay, well, you've articulated that beautifully, and I see you've chosen this very special time to humiliate yourself in public. I think what she's reflecting on is that everything here is fuel-oriented, okay? And Saddam Hussein is a weapon of mass destruction. Now that there's a whole lot of controversy going over there, of course there is. The hive got kicked over. What we're trying to do is probably stabilize a way of life that also impacts the people there. You have a whole lot of students in a whole lot of other Mideast countries now looking to what's going on there, particularly the women. You want your woman? Does your wife live in a burqa?
Area that we could put down any kind of insurrection or insurgency.
I'm sorry, I missed your last sentence. Go again.
I said that if we were really there to create a change in the region, we would have gone in there with 500,000 or more men, like our defense secretary and people advised that we needed more troops, we needed more people, that we needed more manpower on the ground to be able to control this country after we kicked over the hive.
And are you saying you would have supported 500,000 of our soldiers, guys and gals, to go over there and achieve that, that we just didn't use enough people? Go ahead.
We definitely did not use enough people. We left ourselves open to this insurgency. We didn't have a plan for winning the peace when we got in there, for what we were going to do to restart the government, to restart the power structure, to give these people some sense of normalcy. And we let the terrorists take over. We let the insurgency happen by pushing all of the Iraqi troops off the battlefield and not destroying them in place.
So what you're saying is that we should have just never gone over there and just let it sort of boil over on its own, close the borders and let them cook themselves? Is that your idea?
No, absolutely not. I think we should have gone in there with a much bigger fist. If you read the Powell Doctrine, Colin Powell came out with a doctrine that said when you attack somebody, you do so with overwhelming force and overwhelming firepower.
Do you think
Colin
we could
Powell
have? Do you think
Secretary of State?
Do you think we could have convinced the American public to weigh in that heavy?
Yeah, we absolutely needed to go in that heavy.
No, I agree with you. We absolutely needed to go in that heavy. But do you think America would have supported that?
America would have supported that.
I don't agree. I don't agree at all. I think America is lost in the idea that a couple of rockets and a couple of missiles are going to solve everything. And I don't think that our government is really being realistic with how it thinks in terms of working military operations. And I'm going to describe that right after this.
David, give me one more try.
David Lee Roof, столько силы. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Это чистая сила. Radio Roof, 6 a.m. You ain't nothing to me, you got nothing to say.
Roth Radio, we're going to war.
That's the creepiest noise in town. Willulation.
Isn't that it? We got to turn up the music out there. That's a war cry, man. 866-313-3733. If we hadn't have gone into Iraq, like a lot of people said that we shouldn't have, what do you think would have happened? Call and tell me that. 866-313-3733. Go ahead, play the theme, brother. Ed says the war was supposed to be over. Number 13, you're on Roth Radio. Good to go.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Talk to us.
All right. According to the president, wasn't this war over in, I think, May of 2003?
Okay. Well, our president scored about as low scores as Lurch did, you know? It's like meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Of course he screwed it up. Look at his background here. I'm not supporting the president. I'm not supporting Kerry. You know, like I said, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. They both scored, what, below C average in school. They both come from different, you know, those kinds of backgrounds, etc. Yeah, the war was supposed to be over, but they forgot to plan the end game, all right? I don't know that I disagree with the entire operation because things have gone bad in the end. I don't know that you could have avoided it. My question is, should we have just not gone and sort of kick back and see what happened? Go ahead, you're on, man. We lost him. Eddie says we should be there. Number 10, Roth Radio. Give us a call, 866.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Go ahead. You have the microphone. You're on.
I'll say a couple of things. First of all, I don't advocate war, but there's times when things like that are necessary. Our military has done such a good job at protecting our country from terrorism that the bulk of our society has forgotten why we're there. And that is to protect from terrorism. These people are nasty people. They pull nasty stunts. Over here, they start to stretch out over in other countries. And what they, like you guys mentioned earlier, about what they've been doing to their own people, look what they do to their own people. Someone's got to stick up for those people, and we're the ones that have to do it. Unfortunately, the mainstream media always paints, this as a bad guy, and we're doing the wrong thing.
Stop right there, friend. Why do you think the media paints that as a bad guy positioning? Go ahead.
Oh, that's political,
But why would they take that position? Do you think that the liberal left and the media that represents the media that is biased to the liberal left says we shouldn't have gone to war, or that we should have gone to war and that it's now being mishandled? I'm questioning, should we not have gone to war? And what do you think would have happened if we hadn't, Eddie? Go.
Well, I think it's quite possible that the terrorism would have continued to spread. I mean, how many substantial terrorist activity have we had since we've been over there? Not much. I think that raises a good point. But I really got to say, as far as the media handling of this, it's political, Dave. It's obvious. It's so obvious, it's simple. It's political. They don't care. As long as they're shooting something at this administration, they don't care what it is. They don't want to. How about the fact that we got Saddam Hussein? This guy is a brutal murderer.
Hold on right there. I think that the idea that, we want to shoot down what the military is doing. We want to shoot down what the president is doing. Can anybody in this room name a popular president during our lifetime that didn't get shot right out of the sky and end his term in infamy? And I don't mean 30 years later Ron Reagan was cool, and okay, now now Clinton was cool, because I think the average was he used military might on an average of once every 19 weeks when he was in office. That was the peace-loving president. My friend, Eddie, can you tell me a president who is a total hero who didn't get shot out of the sky for some reason? Go.
Well, no, but I will say this. I'll say that Clinton got a lot of free passes. He got a lot of advertising and a lot of free passes. He had to do a lot of, transgressions before they really started to paint this guy as he was. But I'll tell you, I'm not coming on your show to be pro-Republican, because that's not what I'm saying. And I think the big point is we're the other nations around the world backing us up. The real tragedy is here is the United Nations. Where's the help? We're doing a great thing. We stuck up. What about World War II, what we did over there? We're sticking up for people who cannot stick up for themselves.
Hold on one second. I'm going to partially agree with you there, because the first time somebody's properties come under trouble, the first time some French protectorate in Africa gets in trouble, the next time the Balkans implode or combust or whatever the verb is, the next time that the Italians run into trouble in their territories out by wherever that is, Ethiopia or Corsica or whatever, they're going to knock on this door, justifiably. The biggest guy on the block, the most qualified, leads the operation, all right? My question again is, do we do nothing? Because the impression that I'm getting from the liberal left and the media, which I am part of, I'm a musician. I totally depend on the liberal left and the premise of free speech, free this, free that, free everything. My question is, should we just not have done anything? I keep reading that. No, we shouldn't have interfered. Linda, go on.
Dave, we needed a foothold out there and to prove a point. We had Syria. We have Syria out there. We had Saddam Hussein. This is a breeding ground for terrorism. And when you think about it right now, who's coming into that area to fight?
Go ahead.
Other terrorists from other nations. Other Muslims from other nations. Not from the surrounding area. Where do you think they would have been had they not gone there to fight the Americans? They would have been right here, back in New York. And I'll tell you something, Dave. What people forget, and I think every day, just to remind everyone, they should show the picture of that plane flying into the tower. And that people are going to call here and say it's not Saddam. But you know what? We have to take a stand. And we had to be there to show everyone else there. It's like a chess game war. All right? It might have been multi reasons that were there, multiple reasons. What a lot of the people in America don't know is the terrorism that is going on and the planning by these groups.
Go ahead, Robin. You got a thought?
Yeah, I do. Don't you think that eventually the terrorists would have gone there? I mean, to me, the Syria's got the weapons of mass destruction, and that's where Saddam's hiding them. And that's where all the oil is. And why wouldn't the terrorists be going after the oil? And don't you think that, you know, are we there to protect that oil, or are we there to get a stronghold in taking that oil?
No, we're there so that we can continue to do business and buy that oil. There's no way you're going to invent a land war that's going to access somebody's national resources like that, not successfully. We do business with a whole lot of people there. Also, let's not forget that we got a whole lot of people who are the opposite of our friends. Do you know the history of Iran? Do you have any idea what's brewing over there? If you don't get into the middle of the prison yard and establish some kind of presence, yeah, you're going to get punked.
Well, that, you know, when this whole thing started, one of the most clear, simple ideas I heard watching all the news coverage, I heard one retired general say, this is really about establishing a military base in the middle of all of that. And that, you know, the idea that we are going to one day completely withdraw from Iraq, that is really not the point. The point is we don't want to have to ask people for flyover space. We need to have a kick-ass force right there in the middle of it. And that changes the ball game. And I thought, well, that makes sense to me. I buy that.
If you don't establish the presence, you're going to get punked. Everything is going to shut down there. And as soon as these little, the maternity wards start losing electricity and the incubators can't get heated up at any of the hospitals I work DMT at, you're going to hear a howl and a cry from the women of this country that you have no idea before what that would sound like. And as soon as all of the old age homes, my mother hasn't gotten out of bed in 2 months. You know what's going to happen when the electricity in her place starts going? You follow? She's at one of those places, man, and every other person there is on a ventilator. Every other person there has a drip machine. It's not IV anymore. It comes from a machine, and everything there is fuel. As soon as that starts going down, you're going to hear a cry. When the schools start getting too cold to send your kids to it, you're going to hear a cry. When the cop shop can't get heated enough and everybody is sick at home with the flu or whatever, and it takes a little bit longer than 7 minutes for a guy in blue to show up to save you from some tragedy, then there's going to be the hue and cry. And I think in America, we like to wait until somebody gets really good and hurt before we make the rule. Go ahead.
And Dave, you know, you brought up a good point before about, you know, kind of establishing yourself in the schoolyard, because when you saw the countries on the passports of where these terrorists came from that flew these planes into the towers, you know, bottom line is, we had to go over there and pay a visit to the neighborhood.
The bottom line is that we have not experienced other terrorist actions in this country for two reasons. There's an intimidation, there's a distraction that's going on elsewhere, and also it's because they're not good enough yet. Oh, our guys at the borders, our guys on the what's called OGA, other government agency, NSA, CIA, they're good. But that's not the reason New York hasn't been bombed flat. It's because the terrorists haven't figured out the moves yet. And I can assure you, because I know a lot of guys in the military, even a rookie like me, with 12 special op guys, give me 1 weekend and you can bring this city to its knees. It's only because they don't know what they're doing yet, and they're learning at an exponential rate. If you don't establish the presence, I can tell you what could happen to this city in the space of 1 weekend. You put 6 SEAL teamers in a cadre here, give me 1 squad of SEAL teamers, and I will bring New York to its knees in the space of 48 hours, and you will not be able to stop me. What about the guys who are training up and getting qualified up to that level? Should we just let it go? I want to hear from you right after this.
David Lee Roth. 准备去探索. Ross. 直达在早上6点. Welcome to David Lee Roth. First thing in the morning, Ross. 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Keeping me out.
Roth Radio goes to war. 866-313-3733. Look at Linda beaming.
I knew there was a Roth army, but I didn't think he was serious.
Look, I'm providing the spotlight for both sides of the coin here. Obviously, there's no empirical specific thing. You know, somebody brought up in the other room there during the break, would you send your kids there? I don't have any kids. I volunteered to go last April. I said I would go work as an EMT at one of the forward combat hospitals in Baghdad. And I got in touch with Colonel Hastings down at the Combat Medical College, the 91 Whiskey designate in San Antonio at Sam Houston camp there. There's 35,000 soldiers down there. And Colonel Hastings is in charge of the whole combat medical program that the Army is involved in. And she turned me on to a bunch of other characters there, the sergeant majors and the whole upper rank. That was my preparation, and that's what I told Joel Hollander when he asked me if I wanted to do this show. I said, hey, first, no brown M&Ms or I'm going to Baghdad, baby. I'm sorry, I'm making a joke that this gig came up, and that this gig, this is the hottest seat in international radio. I would have never thought of doing even radio at all if the mighty Howard Stern hadn't decided to improve his neighborhood. He decided to move on. It left the seat vacant. You would, as a performer, you would be crazy not to take a shot at this. And if I'm going to speak on behalf of something or make a contribution to, you know, the mean green, then maybe this is my place to do it. I'm way too old and violent to be given a gun. So they gave me a microphone. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas. That's B. Young in the background. Come on, B. Young. Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Karbala, Kafji, Ramadi, Baghdad, Kuwait City. Look at this. We're getting everything. The emails from Yokohama, Japan, Canton, Ohio, Minneapolis, Houston, Texas, Montclair, New Jersey. Everybody's weighing in on this one. Jim says, well, let's find out what Jim says. He's up number 8 there. Hutch, Roth Radio, you're good to go.
Dave, how are you?
Go ahead. You're on.
Good to hear you this morning. You know, I was fine with the conversation up till now until you talked about the SEAL team that could take out New York, but the insurgents couldn't and Al-Qaeda couldn't.
I'm saying currently it's just a matter of time before their level of training and their level of expertise gets up to par.
Well,
it's what's called being qualled up. And as soon as they're qualled up and trained, then we're going to have real trouble unless we start to establish a presence where that chess game begins. Speak to that, if you will.
David, please. How many people do you think on the American Volunteer Army would say they'd blow themselves up to take out a town?
We have a lot of those guys, and properly motivated, they can go and do that exactly. Don't think that Iraq or Iran are the only ones who have people who are willing to martyr themselves for a greater cause.
They're the ones doing it so far.
That's not our tactic. Our tactic is not biased towards that, but I assure you, my friend, we have the very best in the sport who are willing to do that, okay?
Well,
Iraq is one big safe house, okay? And if it came down to it, just like at the end of all your favorite submarine movies, if some kid's got to swim down into the engine compartment and kill himself to save the rest of the boat, you better believe we have those boys and girls in uniform. We just don't call upon them to waste their self. The samurai say, hey, fight without protecting your life. But don't just sell your life cheap. You spent a life worth of training. Want to speak to that? Go.
Sure. I think that that's the only thing that hasn't hit this country yet, and it will, unfortunately.
Suicide bombers?
Very scary, David.
What do you think was that flew itself into the World Trade Center? Those are suicide bombers. They're called Shahid, okay?
That was a bigger plan that they executed there.
Those are martyrs. They're called religious martyrs. It's called Shahid, okay? It means that you are a religious martyr, not jihad. That's a holy war. Shahid. And that is the basic pivot of a lot of the different countries and neighborhoods that are around there, particularly Iran. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're saying that they haven't come over here and started doing that, but that they are. Is that what you think?
Well, unfortunately, what other conclusion can you reach? What's left to do?
I think that you have to get started at the beginning of the chess game. Where are they training this? You want kids to grow up straight and skinny, then you got to catch up with them and stop them from eating McDonald's at grade school. And if you got terrorists who are training somewhere, that's what makes a terrorist. Not just the desire, but the capacity, training. That's where you go, no?
But that's what we're doing in Iraq to some degree. Everybody says this all over the world, that we've created the training ground for everybody. Everybody's going there for different reasons.
Yeah, right. So if we did nothing,
how to blow up things.
Right. So if we did nothing, what did you think would have happened?
Oh, I think we're right to be there. I mean, once we're there, what's the point? You have to go on. You got to do it.
I think that it's one of those lesser of two evils kinds of approaches.
Well, maybe we would have been in Iran this weekend. Who knows? You know, I mean, if we didn't go to Iraq, we would have had to go to Iran. That's the only reason we can't go there now is because we're out there.
Dave, what's your take on Afghanistan and the fact, you know, all the people want that eye for an eye justice and what is going on there and why Iraq went into the front, went into the hard focus, and that seems to have gone soft focus?
I think that, okay, and I don't necessarily agree, but the idea that you're in the neighborhood and that there's not a whole lot of a lot of lines drawn. Again, this is not the Battle of Gettysburg. You can't just say, okay, it's just this state versus that state.
Versus them.
It's all overlap. There is no battlefield there. And that Iran is entering the picture, I got news for you. Iran was always in the picture, all right? And if you don't establish a presence there, then you're going to be dealing with martyrdom in a big way.
Do you think that Saddam backed Osama?
Oh, absolutely.
So he's a fall. Osama was a fall guy, and that's why we lost that trail?
It's the same way I go, Stern is a great DJ, and so are the guys who come on after me. And if they want to come on and be guests, great. And if I walked into their room, great. Are you kidding? You think they're separate? No. They attacked the number one symbol, which was a building. You would have thought, okay, they're going to attack the water system. Okay, they'll attack the grade school. They'll attack whatever. No, no. They attacked a symbol. The World Trade Center was a flag. All right, two buildings out of 10,000 in New York. Why did they pick those? Because it's a symbol of what America stands for. And I'm convinced to this very moment that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is jealousy. Jake, talk to me about Afghanistan. He's on number 10 there, Hutch. Roth Radio, good to go. Go ahead, Jake.
Jake,
are you on?
I am.
Go ahead. Let's hear you.
Dave.
Yep.
What's going on, man? You make some valid points, but I got to disagree with you, man. You said that Saddam in Iraq has caused all sorts of their weapons of mass destruction. What have they done to the United States? Why not make Afghanistan the main battlefront?
Okay, Afghanistan is already underway. Iraq is the big bad boy that was sitting next door to a whole lot of what we're using as our resources. And I don't mean that we stole anything. We do business with the gas station there. And if you think that it's just for your Toyota and that's all it was, then I wouldn't be hounding you like this.
No, I understand what you're saying, but what has he done to this country that warrants us to go in there, besides the gas thing? The only terrorist act he ever committed was...
Stop right there. Besides the gas thing? What else is there?
Why breeding ground.
He governs this country. All of a sudden, we decide on how people... In a strange way, I understand he gathers people, and he was a brutal dictator, awful person. Completely understand. But all of a sudden, now we're going to go in and tell this guy how he runs this... In a weird way, you have to run that country the way he did, or else look at the way it is now. People are just killing each other. No one cares about anything but their own political gain.
Do you maintain?
Look at Saudi Arabia, they're just as bad, but how come you don't hear any news about them?
Because we're doing business with them. And why would you be surprised that somebody who's bad-mouthing you while you're doing business with them? I have the same experience with CBS every afternoon at the end of the show. I do business with these guys, and they routinely hound me to death. You can't believe a word they say. They routinely trade me out on some kind of bait-and-switch program. Why should any country be the difference? This is corporate America that I'm experiencing. Why would it be any different between countries? What we're talking about here is that a world's fuel is coming out of that part of the world, particularly for America, and that the idea that we should have just done nothing would have lasted and been very a pristine idea until all of a sudden the electricity in the grade schools started to wander, until the heat in the hospitals started to disappear, and on and on. And then what do you think would have happened? Major. I think we intervened at the right time. You disagree, right?
We've done a thing to this country. Even if he had all those weapons like we claim, what's he going to attack us? They would have to reroute the world's maps if that guy even gave it to any terrorist organization. If we found any trace that this guy supported any group that attacked us, the whole world would align behind us and annihilate.
Well, that's already in the news. His training camps are already in the news now, and now they're showing up with the films, etc., etc. Turn your freaking TV on, okay?
Well, there's the problem. You're watching too much TV, man.
No,
I'm not.
No, I'm not. You live in a utopian fantasy cookie-looking world. You live in a toy cookie world, man. You've been taken care of all your life. You think the world loves you. It's the opposite of paranoia. You are deluded, friend. Seriously.
You're probably deluded, but I'll tell you what, there are definitely times you gotta fight fire with overwhelming fire, but they should have taken care of Afghanistan, completely set that place up, and then maybe look over. Saddam has been sanctioned for years. He's weak. He couldn't have done nothing to our country, and the only other good thing, he was mortal enemies with Iran. He kept them in check.
So you're saying that we shouldn't have gone there and everything would be fine with Iran? Am I making...
Not with Iran. I think we should have focused more on them than Iraq. Iraq had been... Everything we said about Iraq, Iran's happening.
Saddam Hussein killed how many people in his good moment?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, he was...
On a good day, 12.
What do we care?
What do we care? I'll tell you what we care is that we're doing business with that part of the world for something that is intrinsically important to our culture and our society. And we're not stealing.
So sacrificing American lives, sacrificing all these lives for just what we're doing.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Because the idea that it's sacrifice is terminologically different the way our military has thought of it and always has thought of it and always will. And I'll share with you what that is. When you join the armed forces, you're going to get involved in a process of thinking that says, we didn't waste lives, we spent them. How many lives did we spend to win World War II? Think of it that way. That's how the government thinks of it. That's how the military thinks of it. And this is no secret, okay? If you don't want to get spent, don't join. Don't go away.
Got it. Swing on.